Okay, I hope you'll enjoy this year too, I hope. And okay, let's get started. Okay, so class 32 in our ongoing series on the Siddur, and Baruch Hashem, I think today we're finally going to start, you know, Psukei Dezimra. So we ended last week. We finished the Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the 13 principles of the study of Torah. By the way, I don't know if I ever mentioned, I'm sure I've written about it. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik has this beautiful essay, not beautiful essay, a beautiful drasha on Parshat Chayesara, how davening and learning are two opposite mitzvot, two contradictory mitzvot even. And it's a beautiful drasha. It's really one of those, it's such a beautiful lecture. He talks about, you know, Sar was 120 and 7, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. And, you know, Rashi says, the Midrash, she was the same, she was as beautiful at 100 as she was at 20, as sinless as 20 as she was at 7, different versions of the Midrash. But that's this beautiful idea. So the Rav Soloveitchik developed this whole notion about the tefillah, how a person goes through different stages in life. We've got childhood and youth and, you know, maturity, old age, and different stages in life. There are different things that are more important to us. We all know we have different capabilities at different stages in life. So I'm going to do very quickly and very, very, you know, poorly, but I recommend you listen to it. But the Rav says that tefillah, only a child can pray. An adult cannot pray. What does it mean only a child can pray? A person who's totally dependent on God. In order to pray, you have to say, I can do nothing on my own. Just like a child cries out in the middle of the night, they want their mother. And the child doesn't even have to say any words. And the mother knows exactly what a child wants. We cry out to God. That's part of our tefillah sometimes. Cry. We don't have to say words. The shofar is tefillah without words. And God knows what we want. So silence is very, only a child has the capability to pray. But only an adult has the capability to learn. Because a learning requires critical analysis and not accepting. I don't care what Rashi says. I'm going to argue. So Rashi said it. I think here's why I think his explanation is incorrect. So learning requires independence as opposed to dependence, total critical thinking, the total opposite of tefillah. So, and he said that's why people specialize in one or the other. The Hasidim specialized in tefillah. The Misnagdim specialized in learning. You read Shaul Stamper's book in Valashin Yeshiva, the great Valashin Yeshiva. They daven shacharit in 20 minutes. They weren't interested in davening. That's like almost, I don't want to say God forbid, but almost a waste of time. Chayesha, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm like Bomer. Why are they doing Chayesha? Why are they doing temporal stuff? Let's do permanent stuff, learning Torah. So tefillah and learning are really two different things. We've spent the last basically 32 weeks, much of them going over the learning part of our davening, but it's not davening. It's the introduction to tefillah. And you're not allowed to, the halacha, now we understand the halacha is you're not allowed to learn you're not allowed to have a complicated Talmudic discussion before you daven, because your mind won't be on tefillah. You have to think about what you're going to say, and you know, you have to get your framework. And if you've just come off a difficult Tosfot, that's what you're going to be thinking about, I hope. So in the ideal world, and I even hesitate to say such a thing, in the ideal world, Daf Yomi Shir would be better after davening than before davening. All right, unless you say davening, the Gemara says be halacha psuka, simple stuff you can do before you learn. But it's not just your thing about it. It's fundamentally different. The mindset for prayer and the mindset for tefillah are two different totally things. So that's a beautiful. Rav Soloveitchik took 2 hours to develop this theme that I just expressed. So now we're really moving from the section of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is the real learning. We discussed the two cycles of learning. You got to learn Torah, you got to learn Mishnah, and you got to learn Talmud. We do that twice. Yivarechach Hashem, Eilu Barim, Sheilem Shiur. And then we do it more systematically, more in detail, a whole chapter of the Mishnah, Eizu Mekom and Sheol Tzvachim. That's pretty long. And all the korbanot from that's also pretty long. And then Rabbi Shmuel Omer, wow, that's a klal uprada, and goes through all this stuff. So that's over. So we end that. And then we say, I mentioned we end with a kaddish. That's what we ended off last week. Whenever you have a transitional point in the davening, you say a kaddish. Kaddish is just meant to sanctify God, has nothing to do with mourners, never had anything to do with mourners till the Middle Ages. I mean, you know, I don't know how many people have read Leon Wieseltier's book, Kaddish. Is anybody, I'm just curious, has anybody read it? Oh, somebody's asked me to pin myself. Very good. I hope I know how to do this. Okay. I hope that worked. Thank you. If not, let me know. Has anybody read, now I can't see the people, but okay. Has anybody read Leon Wieseltier's book, Kaddish? Okay, I read it when my mother passed away. It's an amazing book. I don't know this. I think he's had issues with him. I don't really know, but he wrote the book 25 years ago, and it's called Kaddish. Simple, that's one word title. White book, 500 pages, no sources. It's the most amazing source. No other rabbi has written a book as extensively on Kaddish. He apparently went to Yeshiva Flatbush. My understanding, totally not religious. I even understand he married a non-Jew. And he was a children of survivors. And when his father died, he decided he's going to say Kaddish. He was the literary editor of the New Republic, a brilliant guy. And he decided he's going to say Kaddish faithfully every day, which he did in an Orthodox shul, and mainly in Washington. And then he wrote his reflections on saying Kaddish. It's a fascinating read. I find it's a fascinating read. And the research he did is unbelievable. And it's almost, I laugh reading it. I should really email him to get the source. He was writing it for a non-Jewish, a secular audience. So he doesn't quote the Rambam. And everything is in English. So the Sefer HaRokeach is the book of the perfumer. You know, it's like the book of the perfumer says. And it's his reflections. And about what it means to say Kaddish and all the different aspects of it, etc. But the idea and what it's shrouded in mystery. When did Kaddish become associated with mourning is we don't know exactly. I think I was reading Wogelmuth, Rabbi Wogelmuth, who taught in Maimonides for many years, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, taught Tfilah, but he claims it. I think this is a pretty accepted claim that it began in the period the Crusades. After the Crusaders, when a lot of people were orphaned, that's when the idea started. In the Shulchan Aruch, which is already 15th century, 16th century, really, 16th century. So even Kaddish is mentioned, but it's mentioned very much as when a parent dies, you're supposed to daven for the Amud, you're supposed to lead the Tfilah, mainly on Saturday night, mainly on Motzei Shabbat. But a minor, so then they knew a minor can't lead the Tfilah below Bar Mitzvah. Okay, he'll say Kaddish. So that the Kaddish became, but the Kaddish, of course, makes no mention of death. He's the one. And today it's like, it's like things are very, almost funny how things that are really unimportant become the most important things. And Kaddish is an amazing thing. People, it's unbelievable. People go to shul faithfully for 11 months. Listen, I go to shul pretty regularly, every day pretty much. And okay, in COVID, I missed a lot of minyanim like everybody else did. And I also knew if I miss an extra minyan, somehow I don't feel as bad. I got used to it a little bit more. Nunu. But going to minyan. But when you're saying Kaddish, it's not. It's a totally different. You're on steroids going to minyan. Like you can't miss minyan, and your whole life revolves around it. And we all know people are learning. No, it's not. So you miss a Kaddish, the world won't come to an end. But of course, we see it as respect to our parents, whether they're psychological. Guilt, whatever it is, but it works. And that's why, the original minhag is to say Kaddish for 12 months. The rabbi said we should go back to the original minhag because my father used to tell me all the time, he was a rabbi in a very, very traditional conservative shul. And people would say Kaddish, some people, and they would finish Kaddish at mincha. After 11 months, never missed a day, they'd walk out of shul for Marv to see the Mamar Rosh Hashanah. That's it. I don't have to come to shul. I finished Kaddish. Not so uncommon. And we know, Baruch Hashem, many people who started saying Kaddish, and that's what got them into shul. But anyways, that's totally an aside. But
regarding the book Kaddish, it's an amazing book. And yeah. You recommended it to me, and I read it.
Correct. I recommend it to Pam. Yeah. Unfortunately, I just say Faye's husband, unfortunately, passed away a few months ago. The Hakamah Mitzvah was on Sunday, but right. I tell all people that's there. Of course, the Maurice Lam book, that's the classic book still to this day, the Jewish way in death and mourning. No book has come close to as being as great as just covering the basic halachot and the meaning. That's the standard. But Kaddish is not a halachic work, of course, but it's a fascinating read. Anyway, the Kaddish, we say the original Kaddish is after learning Kaddish the Rabbanan. I used to have a Rabbanan, the students, like the Yikum Purkan, we say on Shabbat to bless the Torah students and the Torah teachers. So that's what we do That's the Kaddish we say now, because we're transitioning from the learning part of Tefillah, and now we're going to, not to Tefillah yet, we're going to Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra is not Tefillah. The author is Leon Wieselt here. I don't know how to spell his name exactly, but I think somebody just put the link right there, yeah, in the previous chat. We're going now to Psukei Dezimra, which is sort of the link to Tefillah. So that's, so let's may start. Let's just throw the one source, where Psukei Dezimra comes from. Anybody know what, okay, well, I've mentioned before, Tefillah means one thing. Shmon Esri, Amidah. That's all what that Tefillah means. Shema is not davening. Psukei Dezimra is not davening. We, in the context of davening, and learning for sure isn't davening. Learning is the opposite of davening. So we for sure, but as part of the what we call tefillah, davening, we do many other things. But everything is a lead up to Shmon Esrei. And then Shmon Esrei is the climax, and then you come down. You don't just walk out. So we say Ash Tachan, and we say a few things, Aleinu, and we say a few things to end tefillah. But Shmon Esrei, we know that always, whenever tefillah, that's, we're pretty much at the end, but all the other stuff is basically the lead off. So what what is the source and the origin of Birchat Hashem of Psukei Dezimra? Anybody know? Anybody want to guess where it comes from? Okay.
Isn't it all Tehillim?
I'm sorry?
It's all Tehillim.
It is in Tehillim, but why do we say Psukei Dezimra? So here's prob. This is how Rav Soloveitchik, other people explain. So this is a Mishnah in the fifth parak in Brachot, Masechet Brachot, the first Masechet in the Talmud. Brachot means, you know, blessings, but we don't get the blessings till quote unquote, what we call a bracha, till chapter six. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 are Shema, Me'ema to Akurim to Shema Ba'arvi. That's how the entire Mishnah begins. What's the earliest time to say Shema? The Mishnah begins with the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, right? Shema is the acceptance of God. So the first Mishnah in all of Shas, the Talmud, what time do you say Shema? That's the first mitzvah, bar, bat mitzvah person does. And that's the beginning of the Mishnah, of the Mishnah. So the first three chapters talk about all the laws of Shema. When you can interrupt Shema, when a person walks in the shul, you have to greet them. How much greetings can you do? All the laws of Shema. And chapters 4 and 5 are Tefillah, Amidah. And chapter 6 is a Brachot. And 7 is Birchat HaMazon. 8 is all the meals, all the halachot, all the arguments, the whole chapters of Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. These are the things that separated Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, how you conduct your meal. Fascinating. All these things, a lot of them have to do with purity and impurity, which are no longer applicable. That's the 8th chapter. And the 9th chapter is all the non-food brachot. When you get rescued from Entebbe, what bracha, a place where miracles happen to Jewish people, you buy new clothes. That's where you have that famous halakha, my almost favorite halakha. When a parent dies, you inherit $1 million, you have to say Shechianu. Because a person to do that, what a chutzpah to say that. But we know, it cushions the blow a little bit. When you inherit $1 million, even though a parent died, you know, there's a little bit of happiness in getting that. And for a person to say that would be awful and terrible, would yell at them, but the rabbi said it for us. And therefore the rabbis insisted that if you inherit $1 million and the parent dies or what, I don't know what, they don't say $1 million, of course. I don't know what the cutoff point is. Then you have to make a bracha, but that's all the extra brachot that we make. So the 5th chapter talks about the Shmon Esrei. So the Mishnah says, "Ain omdim mitalel mitoch kovod rosh." You have to have a headache almost, okay, from gravity. It's interesting how the translations go. You know, kovod rosh means a heavy head. It means you got to look down. And you know, you see learned, very pious people, when they daven properly, they look down a little bit. You're not supposed to, you know. And that's the problem. I wish we'd go back to outdoor minyanim. I want our men to go back outdoors. But the problem with outdoors, I was davening for over a year in my in-law's backyard. There were 5 backyards davening. So it's beautiful. In the winter, it wasn't so beautiful. In the summer, wow, you sit there in the trees and the flowers. Who wants to go to shul? This is more beautiful than shul. But so you can say maybe nature inspires us, maybe. But there is a halacha. You're supposed to daven in a more enclosed area. You're not supposed to be, you know, appreciating all the beauty around. You have to have a heavy head. You got to be looking down, focused on tefillah. You can't come from learning, because learning will have you focused on learning. It's a whole, that's the independence. We want total God. I'm a nobody. Chassidim Arishonim, the pious people. This is, a well-known Mishnah. Hayu Shohim Sha'a Achad Umipalim. They used to wait for 1 hour. Now, I don't know if 1 hour means, 60 minutes. That's whoa. Because that would be a lot of time to pray. That's 3 hours a day. Okay, maybe they didn't do it at Mari, because Mari's only accustomed. That's not even the time they have to daven. But they, in order to get their heart set, it's very hard. Davening is one of the hardest mitzvot to do. It's very easy to say words, but it's very hard to have avodah shabalev. It's very hard to have service of the heart. So you need an hour. So, of course, I went to camp. In camp, we have a nachak shav nathil dakab b'sheket. We have a minute of silence to get ready. And a minute, of course, wasn't a minute. It was 30 seconds. And they daven, you know, you're playing baseball and you're running your shorts, you know, in Camp Moshava. And they go, very nice. Okay, beautiful. But we're not chassidim harishonim. And that's good. We should know. Only person who's really a chassid. Most of us don't try to be a chassid when you're not. That's also an important point. But they used to wait an hour. Afilo Melech Shoabish, and they were so focused. Afilo Melech Shoabish Shlomo Lo Yishiben. What does that mean? The king asked you, don't respond. So if it's a non, he might kill you. Of course, you have to respond. So that is the halacha. That if the king is gonna, you're afraid he's gonna, you know, a Russian, whatever, who knows what, a non-Jewish king who gets offended if you don't greet him when they walk by, it's dangerous. Of course, you stop the Shmona Esrei. But but the Mishnah, we're talking about a Jewish king. They won't kill you, or a nice non-Jewish king. But I think the Mishnah has really a deeper meaning. It means you're so focused. You know, when people are totally focused, they're so oblivious to what's happening around them. They don't even know that the king is asking them. So I don't know how many people can ever daven like that. But that's what's, these are the Hasidim Rishonim. These were very pious people. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik, others explain. That's the origin of Psukei Zimra. That the Psukei Zimra is this 1 hour. We take 10 minutes, depends on your shul, you know. But whatever, we take a few minutes. And we have the etched Psukei Zimra on Shabbat, because people have more time, right? Our rabbis were very practical people. You're not allowed to have a hosaf on Monday or a Thursday for laying. You're not allowed to have 4 aliyot on Monday. People have to go to work. The schlep out davening, you can't do that. So, but Psukei Zimra originates from that concept of the Chassidim Rishonim. Now, it's mentioned more specifically. Let me go to another source here. Okay, so here the Mishnah says, if I can find it, I just think the participant always gets in the way. On a second. Mishnah Bikurim Bechorot Shabbat. Here we go. Okay, Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, here, it's very interesting. There's a whole series of things. If you look on Shabbat 118b, as you see on the top, here's what said, the Jewish people that kept one Shabbos, the Mashiach would have come, right? Nobody would have ruled over us. Amalek wouldn't have ruled that. We would have kept that first Shabbos we spoke in the desert. And then if we keep two Shabbatot, this is where that idea, I think a lot of people know the idea. They may not know where it comes from. If you keep two Shabbatot according to the halacha, miyad nigalim, immediately the redemption will come. What's the connection? Not for now. Another time. Okay. So then Rav Yossi says, Yehi chalki, may my portion be with people who eat 3 meals a day, shalashudas. You know, many people are not so careful, especially in winter, to eat shalashudas. But Rav Yossi says it's a great thing to eat 3 meals. Remember, in the time of the Gemara, they only ate 2 meals a day. That was the standard. It's a little strange, right? We don't, they have maybe, what do they call it? Arucha Esser or whatever. I remember in camp, we used to get a snack at 10 o'clock, you know, but you ate 2 meals a day. Shabbos was special. You ate 3 meals a day. So Rav Yossi says, I want to be among people who eat 3 meals a day. All people were poor often, right? The Gemara says that a poor person, yaseh Shabbat chachol ba'al tistarech lebriyot. Make your Shabbos a weekday and don't ask for charity. It's like, thank God, I think for most of us, it's like a foreign concept. Thank God, not for everybody. Unfortunately, there are people, but you don't go asking for tzedakah because you don't have enough money to buy meals for 3 meals on Shabbat. Make your Shabbos a weekday. Because so 3 meals a day was the way we made our Shabbat special. Today, we make it special the way where we eat, the fancy china and in the dining room. We do other things because we eat 3 meals every day, but you still should eat it. Then Rav Yossi says, Yichakim mikomrei halal b'chol yom. I want to be somebody who says halal every day. I say halal. I want to praise God. Halal is praise of God. Ain't he? So the Gemara says, really? Really? You want to do that? A person who says halal every day, he's cursing God. Wow. That's why, by the way, this is a source of why some people don't say halal on Yom HaTzmaut. They will quote you this Gemara. anybody says hello, not that Yom HaTzmut is every day, but any say they'll say, whoever says hello on any day, except when the rabbis say so, and in the Talmud, you're cursing God. Why are you cursing God? Because hello is for special occasion. When everything is special, nothing is special. You know, I teach in a high school, as you all know, I think, and we live in an age of great inflation. And a 90 today is pretty meaningless because half the kids get 90s because you have to break because the universities don't, and at least in Canada, they just look at your marks. They don't look at anything else. Your six best marks. So there's competition. So, you know, the schools, private schools, you know, pay a lot of money. The kid expects a good grade. It's a little bit cynical. It's not 100% like that, but it's a lot like that. It used to be a 75 was a good mark and a 90 meant something. When everybody gets a 90, a 90 doesn't mean anything. When every day you praise God, special doesn't mean anything. So hallel is for a special occasion. I would say Yom HaTzmut is a special occasion. Say hallel. So the Gemara says, no. So how can you say hallel? No. Kika Amrina, Bipsukin is Imra. No, when I say, I didn't mean hallel HaMitzri. I didn't mean the hallel we say on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and half hallel and Rosh Chodesh. That's not what I meant. I meant the hallel, the thanking, praising God, Bipsukin is Imra. So that's, this is the only source that I know of, the direct source, the Mishnah, in Brachot is telling us why we would say, and these two come together. You know, you should prepare for quote unquote an hour, get in the mood, get in the right frame of mind for some people. And then, but everybody, Rav Yo, I want to be, in other words, what do you mean you want to be? It means it's not so simple. People are in a hurry, whatever. It's very interesting. What do you mean? What's so hard? Let me be with among the people. So he was praying that, I guess he didn't just want to mumble words. I assume what Rav Yossi meant, he prayed that he should be able to say Pesukei Dezimra. I don't have to pray to say Pesukei, I just say Pesukei Dezimra. Yeah, I say Pesukei Dezimra. Did I say the first Hallelujah? They say, you know, have you ever finished something? Did I say Aleinu? Was David first? You know, you ever have that experience? Maybe you guys are all pious. I've had that experience. I forget. I did say Aleinu. I didn't say Aleinu. Right? So he's not going to say Pesukei Dezimra. He wants to say Hallel, Pesukei Dezimra, in a way that every day he's really, really praising God. So this is the origin. And as I've often mentioned, and Rav Schachter would often mention it, Pesukei Dezimra is Amita Chasidut. I wish. It's not a rabbinic law. It's not a biblical law for sure. It's not even a rabbinic law. It's not even a minhag. It's not even a custom. We have a minhag to wear a kippah. That's an important minhag, but it's only a minhag. We have a minhag to bang the Arava on Hoshana Rav. We have lots of minhagim. How we done? But they're minhagim. So minhagim are important, lower level. They're not as important as real laws, right? But they're important. This is a midah chasidut. Midah chasidut is for pious people. And that's why the halakha is, if you come late to shul, you're supposed to skip Pesukei Dezimra in order to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Doesn't mean baruch shamar. Tefillah b'tzibur means the Shmon Esrei. So Pesukei Dezimra, it has its origins and it's extra piety. I guess like we're extra pious people, we say it every day. But for sure, this is something you should say less with more kavanah than more with less kavanah. If you don't have, if people are in a hurry, your shul davens too quickly. I remember Rav Schachter said, if you go to Shminyan every day and they daven too quickly, and you don't get there 5 minutes early to go ahead, but you skip. You don't have to say every hallelujah every day. The world won't come to an end if you don't do that. So it's a midat chasidut. But it's a way to frame us to get ready for prayer. That's really what the Pesukei Dezimra, it's preparing us. It's extra Shabbat. Now I'll just do one more piece. Just let me share one more idea. That's which is based on the Talmudic passage on the Chassidim HaRishonim. The Mishnah says the Chassidim HaRishonim would wait for an hour and pray, and then in the discussion on the Gemara on that Mishnah. So the Gemara says like this. We won't talk about this, right? This, by the way, it's this Gemara that talks about breaking a glass at a wedding. Gemara talks, you shouldn't get too carried away with happiness. Because the Gemara says you have to daven with COVID rush, with seriousness, with a heavy head. So the Gemara says here, you're not allowed to, Yemale, it's forbidden to totally have full laughter in this world. I don't know what this means exactly. Remember, Rev started every year with the joke, Jews should always be happy, Ivdu Ad Hashem B'Simcha, but you can't have complete happiness in this world. Az Yemale, in the future, Tzchok Bino, that's based because the Mishnah said, you have to have with COVID rush, a heavy head. A heavy head is a serious head. seriousness and it's a different form of happiness. This is sort of exuberant joy. You have to limit. Okay. Anyways, so then the Gemara says, it almost contradicts itself. Then it says you have to daven with halakha psuka, right? A set halakha, okay, and then whatever goes through it. And then the Gemara comes like this. Where is it here? When you're sad, you can't daven. And by the way, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, a person who comes back from a trip is not supposed to daven. He's too tired. If you're in a depressed mood, you're not allowed to daven. So we don't follow any of these halakhas anymore. We don't follow anything because a person would then actually never daven. That's what I think the Mishnah Berurah writes. If you don't have kavana in the first bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei, the first bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei is the most important. Magen Avraham. So you have to know the words, what you're saying, what the meaning. And if you didn't, you just said it. So the halacha is very clear. You must repeat the entire Shmoneh Esrei. Like if you forget the Aleph Yavo, you know, got to repeat. So if you don't have kavana for the first bracha, you must repeat the entire Shmoneh Esrei. So that's in the Shulchan Aruch. That's halacha in 16th century. That's the halacha. The poskim say today, we don't do that. I think it's only after the Shulchan Aruch they say, we don't do that because we would never daven. You're not going to have to daven the second time and the third time and the fourth time. You'll end up davening all day, you know, then you get OCD, you know, like we don't want that. So, what can we do? But in theory, your prayer, you have to prepare for prayer. It's hard. You have to be in the right mood. I wish, Rav Yossi says, I hope I can be able to say Psukei Dezimra with intent, with songs, singing, praises. It's hard. So the Mishnah said, not the Mishnah, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to daven if you're sad. Lo mitoch atzlut. If you're lazy, what does that mean? I don't know exactly. Lo mitoch tzlut, not if you're joking around. Davening is serious. Lo mitoch sikat, you can't talk, can't have a discussion with your neighbor. You know, you're getting a few words in between the discussion with your neighbor. I've heard that happens occasionally in shul. But lo mitoch kalut rush. That's the opposite of COVID rush, not lightheadedness, right? There's COVID rush, a heavy head, and then there's a light head. You can't have it, you're joking around. Frivolity, I see in the Steinshow's translation of Mario. They translate frivolity. Okay. But lo mitoch dvorim b'teilim, not narish, okay? You're talking about the hockey game last night, you know, talk things that are not so important. Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. So you have to dive in with the joy of a mitzvah. That's so tefillah. This is, we don't think like this. Tefillah and simcha go together. Davening and joy must go hand in hand. That's the Gemara says that's the only way you can daven. You can't daven if you're not in a good mood. You can't daven if you're lazy. You know, just let me get through this. And you're joking around. See, you know how joking and joy are not the same, right? Pleasure and happiness are not the same thing, right? The mitzvah Torah is to be happy, not to have pleasure. Pleasure is a minor component of happiness. You have to eat. That's the lowest level of simcha. We all know that. Getting just extra pleasure doesn't make you happy. It's a little component of it, if it's in moderation. So a Jew has to have simcha tefillah equals simcha. We'll talk about that in a moment. And that's, of course, mizmor shir. We begin psukei mizmor shir, a song. We have to sing. Singing is joy, happiness. What does Rashi explain happiness? Interesting. Kegon divrei tanchumim shel Torah. Words of comfort of Torah. God redeemed us from Egypt. Or in Ashrei, you say all these, you know, Ritzon Yerev Yaseh, right here, Shomer Hashem Kolo Avav, God guards all those who love him. So these are, it comforts us, you know. We think we know what's going on. God is there. We don't feel him necessarily. We don't see him. Or so that's one thing, Divrei Tanchumim. Right. Here's a don't keep from him. Okay. Oh, shavach. Yeah, that's what it's looking. Or words of praise. Words of praise, shavach, are words of comfort. That's how joy. Joy is when that's actually a fascinating idea. I mean, comfort, joy and comfort go together. That's quite amazing. And also words of praise. When we praise other people, you get joy. You know, gratitude works. All the research, the modern day research on gratitude, it's good for us. When we give gratitude to others, when we express gratitude to God and give pleasure, we feel good about ourselves. So that's the background to Psukei Dezimra. Now, what do we do? So we begin Psukei Dezimra. So how do we begin Psukei Dezimra? We, and I said, we're going to do a Nusach Ashkenaz class. In the Nusach Sfarad, they begin at Hodu. But in Nusach Ashkenaz, we begin at Mizmor Shir. Now, of course, Mizmor Shir is not exactly Psukei Dezimra, because Baruch Sheamar begins Psukei Dezimra. Pesukei Nezirma has a bracha at the beginning, Baruch Shamar, has a bracha at the end, Yishtabach, and then stuff in the middle. The most important stuff, most important is Ashrei, 145. The next most important things are the five hallelujahs, and then the other, Hodu, Yehi Chavod, Az Yashar, that's less important, and that's important to know when you come late to shul and you have to skip what parts you should skip. You can say part of Pesukei Nezirma, say Ashrei, etc. So Mizmor Shir is the introduction to Pesukei Nezirma. And I think it how do we just end? We just ended the first part of Tefillah, which is nothing, it's not an introduction to Tefillah. Brachot Birchat HaShachar, that's not an introduction to Tefillah. It needs to be said at home. That is praise. That gives praise to God.
Listening to Jay.
If you want to mute yourself, should I mute you? Whatever. Okay. If you, Birchat HaShachar, God, we can stand, we can see, we have clothing, we can walk, we have shoes. All the brachot we say, that's not preparing for a tefillah, that's gratitude. The originally people said it at home. They only brought it to the shul because people didn't know. They weren't so learned. They didn't have sidurim at home. They didn't have printing presses. So they came to shul. The chazan said it and they answered amen. So the first part of tefillah up to Rabbi Yishmael Omer is not a preparation for tefillah. That's just what that's gratitude. Pesukei Nezirma is now a preparation for tefillah, for amidah. So that's why we have to have the Kaddish in the middle. It's a totally break point between the two concepts. So, but we ended the first part of what we call our morning service. We ended with the Beit HaMikdash. He read some, Beit HaMikdash, that's how we end Rabbi Shmuel. So we talk about the Beit HaMikdash. So now we transfer Mishmor Shir, Chanukah HaBayit HaDavid. Now we're going to sing we're going to sing a song to God. Chanukah HaBayit HaDavid. We'll get to the David portion. That is a song to say Chanukah HaBayit, the dedication of the house of the Beit HaMikdash. So we pray for the restoration of Beit HaMikdash. And then as if we're going to dedicate the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, the Beit HaMikdash is the place of tefillah. Ki beiti beit tefillah yikarei l'chol amim. The Mikdash is the makom tefillah. So the fact that we link the temple and prayer is obvious because the prayer is the place, the temple is the place of prayer. It's also the place of joy. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem shivat yamim. The lulav is taken 7 days in the temple biblically. We do it as a reminder of Yochanan ben Zakkai, rabbinic law, because the Beit HaMikdash is the makom of simcha. We've discussed this on various occasions, right? The presence of God, being in the presence of what God is what gives the greatest joy. So, v'usmachtem lifnei Hashem, to be in the presence of God, i.e. the Beit HaMikdash, that's how the rabbis interpret that phrase in the Torah. Lifnei Hashem titaru, on Yom Kippur, right? It's in the Beit HaMikdash, in the presence of God, where the Tahara takes place. Lifnei Hashem means the Beit HaMikdash, the presence of God, and the presence of God brings about joy. So Mizmor Shir, singing, prayer, that's all connected to the Beit HaMikdash, all our tefillah. So therefore, we've gone from Yehi Ratzon, okay, we say Kaddish, now we're going to start Mizmor Shir. Now, Mizmor Shir, what's it doing here? So I'll start with something interesting. Okay, so first of all, Mizmor Shir is not part of the original tefillah. When I, you know, I got on my, I'm not at home now, but on my shelf, I have a whole shelf of the Perushim on the Siddur. So we open up most of them. They don't talk about Mizmor Shir. It's not there. Why don't they talk about it? Because they didn't say it.
Some people say it's a mistake that it's there altogether.
Yeah, we're gonna get there. Thank you very much. Of course. It started in the 17th century. Apparently it started in the Sephardic tradition, and it only, I think, a little bit earlier, what I've seen, and it only came into our Siddur. So all the Sidurim, all the Perushim on the Siddur before the 17th century, of which I do not mention, it just wasn't part of the liturgy. They're obviously not going to comment on it if they don't know you say it. It was said originally on Hanukkah, Mizmor Shir Chanukah HaBayit HaDavid, the rededication, and then got borrowed and got put in. But I've already begun to explain why it's a beautiful introduction to Tefillah. It's got Mizmor, it's got the Beit HaMikdash, why it is, and I think we all say it. I mean, again, if you come late for shul, then you can skip it. But it's a beautiful thing to say. We'll get to, I don't know if we'll finish it all today, but the idea. Now, if, like I say, it first appears in the 17th century. By the way, Le David Hashem Ori V'Ishi, that's, you know, Elul, that also, I think, is from the 17th or 18th century. If you want to know about that, listen to Schneer Lyman. Dr. Schneer Lyman has a great talk about it. You can find it, I think, on YU Torah. The history of Le David is also very recent. Okay. All right, just some. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so the Davi was also added much later into our tefillah. Now, as Rabbi Alman noted, some people said it's a mistake. So what I mean, so as mine said, the Vilna Gaon said you should not say it. Shouldn't say Mizmor Shir. So I guess, you know, it's like people who don't wear tzitzis, they follow the Balamor. The Balamor, Rav Zerachya Halevi, the 12th century, the Chavruta of the, not the Chavruta, who is he? The Chavruta of the Ravid. Him and the Ravid were Chavrutot. The Ravid who comments on the Rambam wrote a commentary on the Rif. The Balamor never wore tzitzis because he felt that we don't have tchelet. Now we do have tchelet. You don't have tchelet, you can't wear tzitzis without tchelet. Torah says, but tchelet. So what is, it's bad to wear a fork for a crown without tchelet. So, you know, a guy in yeshiva who's a wise aleck, you know, a smart aleck, the Rosh Yeshiva says, why aren't you wearing tzitzis? You know, they put their hand on the back. I follow the Balamor. What do you mean? I follow the view of the Balamor. So, you know, you want to skip sukkah, shir, mizmor shir, you have the Vilna Gaon to rely. Why does he say not to say it? So this is, and Rabbi Soloveitchik loved this idea in many ways, because you need a matir. You need a matir, as he called it, to pray. A matir means you need permission to pray. You know, the Gemara has a story. The guy gets up and he praises God 5,000 ways. He said, are you finished? Finished? You can't. What do you mean? It's endless. We're only allowed to say Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor Vanara because it's written in the Torah. Moshe said it. If Moshe hadn't said it, we couldn't say it. What do you mean, praise God? If you say to a billionaire he has $10 million, he gets upset. If you say to God he's great, what do you mean? You've totally under appreciated the person. So you're not out to pray. We need a matter. We need permission to pray. So the permission to pray is our prophets pray. God allows us. Shirei David Avdecha. That we say Baruch Shemar, as the Rav Soloveitchik said, it's the permission to pray. Just, I'm not allowed to eat. The permission to eat is a matir. So Rav Soloveitchik said, Baruch Shemar is the matir to, you know, that allows us to say Shirot B'tish Pachot. So I'm not allowed to say any praises of God before I say Baruch Shamar. So you're not allowed to say Mizmor Shir before you pray. So that's wild. We don't do that. Like, okay, that's a bit Vilna Gaon, but you shouldn't praise God before asking for permission to praise God. By the way, the had the same thing. You shouldn't sing, I don't know who liked Zmiris on Shabbos. You shouldn't sing Sur Mishalo Achalnu. What's wrong with singing Sur Mishalo Achalnu? Or because Sur Mishalo Achalnu is you fulfill benching. The mitzvah benching. Hazan, 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 hazan adolam. Right, it's the Sur Mishalo follows the benching. So b'di'eved, you fulfill the mitzvah. I can't bench anymore because I already benched. Again, okay, we don't. I don't, you know, I don't sing Sur Mishalo so often, but occasionally we do. So that's not so much of a, you know, an issue. But where really is an issue is on Bircha Kriyat Shema. That when your shul misses Sosman Kriyat Shema, so everybody, you know, say Kriyat Shema at home, Sosman Kriyat Shema at 9:02, and your minyan starts at 9 o'clock, you're going to miss Shema, so you say it at home. So he didn't like that minyan, he didn't like that minyan either, because the rabbi said, I'm supposed to say Kriyat Shema with the brachot. So if I'm supposed to say with the brachot, I shouldn't say it, you know, plain, and then add it later. No, I'm just saying, but okay, everything is a different opinion. But our custom, I think, our beautiful custom is to say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Kabbat Chabad Levi. So let's just start. We'll just begin saying it a little
in
bit.
In Frankfurt, they did not say it.
Okay, very good. In Frankfurt, yeah, the Yekkas always have their own minhagim. But that means in Hamburg it was said. Just in Frankfurt, it wasn't said.
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, I know, because, sure. You know, in Germany, it's not only countries, but the minhagim were very,
but,
you know.
But what I had heard that some people used to say Shir Shal Yom at that point in davening, before Baruch Shamar. And therefore, uh-huh, on Hanukkah, they said Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis then. And that's uh-huh why it ended up in that spot. In the liturgy, because
that's how it happened. Fascinating, fascinating. That makes perfect sense, and that explains why, if I remember correctly, the Birnbaum Siddur, the Birnbaum Machzor that I used growing up as a kid, I'm sure many of you used. That's ancient history. Nobody uses the Birnbaum anymore. The Birnbaum Machzor on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, maybe even on Shabbos. Now I forget. Has Shir Shal Yom right at the beginning of the daf.
Well, because on Rosh Hashanah, most people say it's an anyhow. The yom is said at that point.
Right, why? Know, on right. I don't know why. Why?
I'm not sure why, but in Rosh Hashanah, it seems to be a pretty common minhag to say Shir Shal Yom
right.
then before.
Presumably, that maybe it's always the minhag every day, and it was just kept for Hashanah. I don't know. It's very interesting.
Now, most people, I know in Frankfurt, they said Shir Shal Yom after Shacharis, like minhag, you know, Nusach Sfar does. They say Shir Shal Yom after Shacharis always. And in Eretz Yisrael, right. in most places, they say Shir Shal Yom after Shacharis. You know, after Shmon Esrei Shacharis, before Hachnasas Torah.
Or before Hachnasas Torah, really?
That's what they always say, Shir Shal Yom there. Most Nusach Sfar places say it there. And,
I mean, Nusach Ashkenaz says it at the end. Nusach Sfar, I mean, what I know in North America, whatever, even in Israel, Nusach Sfar says it before Aleinu. Aleinu is the end of davening, and we say Aleinu and then Shir Shal Yom. So I haven't looked into that yet because, you know, on Shabbos,
it seems that most places say it on, you know, after
Nusach Sfar, where I have it, Narshu is Nusach Sfar. Nusach Sfar says Shir Shal Yom after the Shmona Esrei. After Kaddish and Shacharit,
let's
say
the
Torah, correct.
And
that's what Ashkenaz says at the end of Mishnah.
Frankfurt, they did it that way also, and in Eretz Yisrael, the common minhag in most places to say it there.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. So let's. But the way our seder is printed, the way we do, we say Mishmor Shachanukah by the beat. So let's just introduce it. We're not going to. I don't finish it today. Mishmor Shachanukah by the beat. So what's the problem? Number one is. It's a song for the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash, right? A song for the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash. So why is David HaMelech saying it? David HaMelech didn't build the Beit HaMikdash. So how can he compose? So you have a lot of this also, by the way. A lot of, you know, Tehillim wasn't all composed by David HaMelech. Tehillim was composed, the rabbis say, 10 different people. For example, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, the Gemara says was composed by Adam Harishon. Now, both Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat and Mizmor Shir Chanukah and the Beat, the theme of the Tehil of the Psalm has nothing to do with the heading. In other words, you read Mizmor Shir Chanukah and the Beat, it does not talk about the building of the Beit HaMikdash. It doesn't talk about Chanukah and the Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat does not talk about on Shabbat. That's a whole different thing. So you have that also. The kokeret, the heading, does not always correspond to what's there. You have to figure out why. But Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat was said by Adam Harishon. That's how the Talmud assumes. And Mizmor Shir Chanukah by the David. So there's a whole debate. David HaMelech wrote it. He wrote it for Shlomo HaMelech to say it when, you know, he'll be able, when the Beit HaMikdash is built. Some people say that David HaMelech wrote it for the second Beit HaMikdash, the third Beit HaMikdash, because Mizmor Shir basically talks about thanking God. Life is full of troubles. I thank God from Helitani Min Shomi Mihabor. God took me out Miyardei Bor. He took me out of the pit. He took me Min Shaol Nafshi. We're praising, we're thanking God for saving us, for healing us, for taking us from affliction, the crises of life. So some people say in a prophetic sense, David HaMelech was talking about the suffering of the exile. But one day the suffering, the bores, the pit of the exile on the trials and tribulations the Jewish people have suffered. And this is Mizmor Shir for a future Chanukah Habayit, the so to speak. I like the explanation that, of course, Shlomo may have composed it himself. But we give credit to David, even though David wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, he did the work because he was a warrior, you know, the famous concept, he couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash, but he gets the credit. Even though it's Shlomo who built it, it's David HaMelech. The Radak has a fascinating expression. You know, when you study Tanakh, the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, is like the Rashi of Tanakh. You know, he's the classic commentary on Tanakh, Ashkenazi, also from the Ashkenazic world, like Rashi was, the Radak, the Kimchi family was a well-known family. So the Radak says Mizmor Shir Chanukah by David is sort of a response to all the people who said David HaMelech, this sinner, the guy who sinned with Bathsheba, got the guy killed so he could have an adulterous relations with his wife, more or less, right? How could he build the Beit HaMikdash? And how could Shlomo, who wasn't from that union, but how can Shlomo come from that wife? How can the way he got Bathsheba so terrible, how can he be allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash? And the Radak says this is the answer. In other words, we say, no, God accepted the tshuva of David for that exact reason, because he did tshuva. Tshuva is really powerful. When King Shaul was asked, why didn't he kill Amalek? He gave excuses. When David and Amalek was confronted by Nathan and Abi, okay, I did terrible thing. This is awful. And he did tshuva. So when you do tshuva, you can rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, of course. Now, what's fascinating, I think, for us is, you know, our entire redemption, messianic thing. There's, I know the, you know, the myth, other people talk about this a lot. I don't know exactly what to say about this, but it basically comes from sexual immorality. Who is, where does King David come from? King David comes from Ruth of Moavia. Where does Ruth come from? Ruth comes from incest between Lot and his daughter. Where does Boaz come from? Boaz is a descendant of Yehuda, 10th generation, I think, right? I think he's the 10th generation from Yehuda. So Boaz, who does Boaz come from? Boaz comes from Yehuda and the prostitute. I mean, he didn't know it was his daughter-in-law, you know, sleeping with Tamar. So the messianic notion comes from the pure, I don't even know how to phrase it, but it's just, it's a fascinating concept. I'm not, this is not my field, but just you think about it. It's like unbelievable. So that's probably the idea of tshuva and what they did. But it explains probably why Shabtai Tzvi was so involved into sexual sins, because, you know, that's like that, you know, he's involved in all kinds of things and they justified it. You know, those who followed Shabtai Tzvi, because, you know, I guess perhaps it's related into that. Okay. So, but anyway, so that's just the phrase, Mizmor Shir Kanakata by the David. It's David HaMelech gets the credit for building the Beit HaMikdash. A, he deserves the credit. B, we'll give him, you know, we're going to give him the credit. It's a reflection of the acceptance of tshuva, or it's David really composing it for the future time. It's for, you know, all kinds of other things. Just let me share my screen one last time. Just there is a tie into the Beit HaMikdash in the first sentence in Mizmor Shir. So let's take a look at the Mishnah in Masechet Bikurim. The Mishnah and Masechet Bikurim. Okay, so the Bikurim, it's, we're going to, hopefully, we're, Shavuos is in, what's today? The 34th day of the Omer. So I guess that means in 16 days is Shavuot. And of course, the mitzvah Bikurim begins. It continues, by the way, the mitzvah Bikurim is not only on Shavuot. It continues from Shavuot till Sukkot. There's actually a fascinating view in the Mishnah that up until Hanukkah, fast, even though Hanukkah is not a biblical holiday, you can bring, without saying the mitzvah Bikurim, you bring your first fruits and you give a synopsis of Jewish history. That text, which is the synopsis of Jewish history, is the text that we use on Pesach. That's another way we link Pesach and Shavuot. Arami Oved Avi. Thank you, God. We, you know, our grand great ancestors went to Egypt. We were persecuted. We cried out to God. God listened. He took us out. He brought us to this wonderful land. Here's this beautiful fruit. So at the Pesach Seder, we don't say he brought us to this wonderful land. Here's this beautiful fruit. We just thank God for taking us out of Egypt. But that's the linkage. That's what the farmer must say. He's got to bring the fruit. So the Mishnah says the bringing of the fruit he can do till Hanukkah, the reciting of the fruit of the land, I guess after Sukkot, after the harvest time, he can't do that anymore. But the beginning of the Bikurim is on Shavuos, and they had a big party. Hachalil, they had an orchestra playing. The flute would play before them. Hachalil, Achimagim, Lahar Bait. It doesn't necessarily, this was on Shavuos, but whatever. Afilu Agrifa Samelech, Notelech Devo Al Nichnas. So they had big processions. The mission is right. It's very beautiful how they brought the Bikurim and everybody would go. I think they were allowed to say hello to the people, because a worker is not allowed to greet people because you're stealing from your boss. I mean, we don't follow those halakhas anymore either. That's like four, like, oh, why are you nuts? You can't say hello to a worker because you've got to, right? Remember, workers couldn't say the whole Birchat HaMazon. Well, what do you bench? That's your own, can't bench. Got to go to work. So, okay, you have to bench. We'll skip half the benching. That's halakhas in Masechet Brachot. But leaving that aside, this was special. The people coming with their fruit to the temple. So the Mishnah says they come to the Azara, they come to the courtyard of the temple. He heal Azara v'divru halavim b'shir. And then the Levite song. Why do they say, so that, of course, is the first verse in Mizmor Shir. We thank God. I will lift up. Because God, the lieutenant, God has raised me. Dala, he's raised me from the pit, so to speak. My enemies can't rejoice over me. So that's what the Radak is referring to the enemies or all those people who were ridiculing David HaMelech. So you see already the first verse, at least in the time of the Mishnah, is connected to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so please go on next week. We'll go through the actual Mizmor, point out some of the lines of Mizmor, but I think this is the bridge. Mizmor Shir is the bridge between Birchat HaShachar and our Tefillah. And when we get to Tzukizim is the introduction to the Tefillah, but this is the bridge to that introduction. It's all about song, because you can't daven until you're sad. You must be singing, you must have joy. It must be related to the Beit HaMikdash. We just said Yehi Ratzon. We talked to all the korbanot that we can't bring. We want to have the Beit HaMikdash. So we begin the introduction, that link, that bridge is through singing the song of the Ready Day Against the Mikdash. And I think it's a beautiful think on Tshuva. What do we do when we come? Slach lanu ashkichatanu. Part of prayer, a major component of prayer, a major component of sacrifices is sin, repentance from sin. So it's a beautiful bridge. We begin. David HaMelech had the zchut to build the Beit HaMikdash, or the zchut to be the one who's given credit for building the Beit HaMikdash through the power of tshuva. Okay, let's see what else. Okay. I think just basically reviewed most of what we.
Okay, there's a.
I'm sorry?
And Rabbi Felder's book on the Siddur, he says that at one point they forbade the bringing of the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, and when that zera was set aside, then the Chazal said they should say this Mizmor to thank Hashem for allowing the Bikurim to come back. So there's a...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear everything you said. It was very, you said something, bringing the Bikurim, we're thanking Hashem for the ability to bring the Bikurim. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, because there was a Xera forbidding.
Yeah. We talk about that on the keynote on Tisha B'Av. I think there's a reference to that. So that's why they made a big procession. They could bring it back, but to be clear, it's done with great fanfare and beautiful. And so Mizmor Shir, and of course that's why it becomes the Mizmor for Hanukkah. Rabbi Amon, I thought explanation of how it got into Pesukim is very very beautiful idea. But anyways, and then the other thing we talked about mainly, of course, was the two totally different realms of prayer and learning, two opposite. Contradictory. Of course, what Rav Soloveitchik said is the greatness of Sarah. That's what Rashi means. She was 7, 20, and 100 at the same time. It wasn't she, but that's the Rav's beautiful idea that Sarah had the innocence of youth as she matured. You know, we're all innocent, pure when we're kids. When we get adults, we become cynical. That's life. What can you do? So Sarah maintained that innocence of life, that purity. And Sarah learned when she was a young kid, she had the intellectual ability as an adult. So Sarah could pray and learn at the same time. She had the youthfulness of prayer and the adulthood. Only an adult can learn, only a child can pray. But Sarah was both a child and an adult. That was the Rav's whole thing. That's the greatness of Sarah. V'yu chayei Sarah, mea shana, esrim shana, v'sheva shnei, shnei chayei Sarah. No, thank you very much. No, it's a problem. Yeah. I'm just boring here in the drama room in chat. So the drama, whatever. So, okay. Anyways, so that's the beautiful idea of the Rav. But it's an important idea. That's why the halach is you're not allowed to learn. You can't learn. But no, that should be the worst thing somebody does as a deep Gemara Shir, and then they go to Tafling. But conceptually, and we said the origins of Psukei Dezimra, the Hasidim of Rishonim, Psukei Dezimra is beautiful, but you have to be on the level. In theory, we today just do it. Okay, that's the way we live our life. But in theory, you have to pray the Hei Chalki, that I should be in the frame of mind that I will have the ability to say Psukei Dezimra every day. So that's what we have to do. Okay, any questions? I see anything. I think Boaz is 7th generation. Oh, David is the 10th generation. Thank you. Somebody pointed that out. I knew there was 10 somewhere. By the way, we'll discuss next week. Mizmor Shir is God's name 10 times. 10, of course, is an important number, obviously. I mean, every number represents different ideas. But yeah, the 10th generation goes towards the 7th. Okay. It's like my Tanakh, I don't know as well as I should. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. And okay, I got to go too. I got to teach you my next class. And everybody be well. Shabbat shalom. And
please
go.
Shabbat shalom. Good Shabbos.
Thank you very much. Okay. Be well. Bye-bye.